Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I am Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Sam Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
And I've also got Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
Still as venerable as ever. You can be stuck at that level, but that's awesome. It's a good place to be.
I agree.
We're starting this particular show with a little bit of more of a somber tone, I think. It just kind of happened that way. And, I just don't feel very lighthearted. And we thought as a sitting here in our little luxurious corner booth, it's a little less luxurious because we just feel, I'm saddened by the state of the world right now. There's some real scary stuff out there that just has really been bothering me. And I think it all came to a head, certainly with all the recent events we've seen in the news. And I don't want to do a political show. I don't want to do a discussion, blaming one side or the other for something. I just want to address some stuff that I think we've all seen in our world that we're unhappy with in terms of what's going on in terms of recognition of human dignity and things like that. And it's not just that the assassination of Charlie Kirk, but it's also because that's on top of this poor Ukrainian refugee who gets stabbed on a train, and then it's just like out of nowhere. And then right before that, we've got two beautiful young children, in a church get shot. And then so many other children wounded and terrorized by those events. And you go back and there was a Minnesota, a state representative or something. Her and her husband and their dog got killed by somebody. And then there's other school shootings that have happened. And I'm looking at this and going, like, I don't want to be one of those people that thinks that, like, obviously Jesus is coming back, the end of the world. These are signs of the apocalypse because there's wars and rumors of wars. There's so much death and destruction. There's so much killing and there's so much, vitriol and hatred and division. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know a lot about Charlie Kirk. I knew of him, and I like most people, I saw a bunch of, 1 minute long reels of exchanges that he had with people on college campuses and things like that. And I didn't think too much about it. I put him in a kind of a category, politically or whatever, and saw this. I actually did a little due diligence for myself. And I watched, I don't know how many hours, but I watched hours of Charlie Kirk footage, right? And again, I don't want to talk about whether Charlie Kirk was a perfect guy or not a perfect guy, or if he was right or if he was wrong, or if he was right or if he was left, or if he was, I don't want to go there. What I do know is there's a lot of lies that are out there about what he said and how he said it, and I don't want to fall victim to any of that. And I don't really want to discuss that, but I see him as the culmination or of a pattern of human just degradation to the point where we've got there is this lack of understanding or respect for human dignity that is really disturbing me, and to the point where I gotta tell you, on the day that it happened, and really it sunk in the next day, it happened on a Thursday in the afternoon, noon time, whatever. And by the time I heard about it, and it's like, it was just kind of, a little bit of like, wow, that is really, wow, that happened. And then the next day, that Friday, I got angry. I just really got angry. And it was not a political anger. It was not about those people killing my guy or something. It was not that. I thought, like, what have we come to? What is the world that we live in that would allow this, or that would even think that this was a normal expression of, like, well, he had it coming, or what world do we live in where this is happening? I got so mad, which also leads to this anger leads to discouragement. It leads to a heaviness. It leads to feeling burdened, leads to a loss of hope. And ultimately, it leads to despair, which our church rightly calls a sin, the sin of despair. It's like lost hope, mm-hmm. right? I don't believe that even Jesus could save this world. And I was kind of going in that direction. I didn't fall into despair, but my wits came about me at some point. But I think where it happened was I took this anger with me, and believe it or not, and call it providential, I don't know. That Friday, I had to leave and go to Pickwick Dam, a state park in Tennessee, for a retreat with the deacons. So I went on retreat that weekend.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, and there was a lovely Dominican sister, Sister Mary Lawrence, who gave the retreat. And I'm going to tell you something, and she would blush if she heard me say this, but she was a gift from God, specifically to me, but I think to everyone there. And there was some serious, I'm going to say God was present at that retreat, right? Through her, God was very present to me. And she directly addressed things, and I took these notes. I didn't take any notes the first three talks, okay? She had four talks. First three talks, I'm going like, man, this is hitting home. This is good. I need this. This is good. It was prayerful. It was beautiful. And I'm going down this path. And the fourth, all of a sudden, this kind of came over me, and I started writing things down. And when I looked at what I wrote down, three little, little pads that they give you for notes that I never use, and I kind of make fun of when I go to retreats. Who writes this stuff down? I wrote three things down there, and then I went up to her afterwards. She ended up handing me her last talk, and I said, "This has been so spiritually medicinal, sister. Thank you so much, and you really struck a nerve with me. You helped me in a profound way, and I'm sure other people felt that way." And I'm actually not going to go through the retreat. I'm not going to talk about what was, because I hate when people are like, I heard this great homily. First he said this, and then he said this. It's like, what I'm going to say is, though, it really put things in perspective for me. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm still hurting about our nation, especially. I'm hurting about what we've become. And so out of this retreat came this resolve to at least look at the state that we're in. And I'm not talking about the state of Tennessee. Look at the condition that we find ourselves, the human condition, and where I know it best, in the United States of America. And I've realized some things, because we've gotten to where there are some serious problems with civil discourse. There is no such thing as civil discourse mm-hmm. anymore.
Hadn't been there for
a while.
Have
you guys I mean...
Oh, yeah. Hadn't been there for a while.
Talk about your family, Tom. I'll talk about our family.
I mean, all families are the same, I think, right now. There's some disagreements, and they get pretty heated, too. So families are a reflection of what's going on in our country right now.
But you know that, like, blood is thicker than water, right? Of all people that are supposed to have our backs. I'm not saying we agree. I mean, families bicker and fight all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But they never, ever, ever, like, say, oh, no, I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to whatever. I'm going to walk away. And when they do, then you go, like, there's a major rift or problem in that family where mm-hmm. it's gotten to a point where that family was destroyed by something.
Right.
It's usually an ideology or something. But at the end of the day, it's like it's starting to work through families. And I think it's insidious, and I actually think it's a little satanic.
Oh, that's exactly right. It's evil.
I don't think there's any devil worshipers in your family, Tom. I don't think there are in mine. I think there's gullible people that fall into ideologies, that fall into different ways. And I'm not saying that I'm not guilty.
I was getting ready to say, we could be that person.
That's 100%. And I want to make that clear.
Right.
The last thing I want people listening to this show is think is like, is he a Democrat or is he a Republican?
Right.
Is he on the right or is he on the left? Does he believe this is whatever? And it's like, that's not what this is about.
What this is about is truth,
beauty, and goodness.
Right.
100%, Tom. And it's like, we should all be seeking the truth.
Right.
Right. We should all be viewing that which is beautiful and raising it up. And we should all live in goodness.
Yeah, and ideally seek it together if you're a family.
And a family should be the place, right? Mm-hmm. How many times have we talked about save the family and save the world? If we can shore up the family, if we have a strong, healthy, holy family, mm-hmm. it's a better world. And if everybody has that, it's a better world. And I think even that's being challenged now. And so I'm looking at this and how that is now spilling over into society, to where we have this horrific violence. Just mm-hmm. it seems like it's meaningless. It doesn't have It doesn't have an ideology. It's informed by ideologies, but then it goes off the rails.
Well, I think a lot of people are just stuck in their own echo chambers, and whether it's a family context, friend context, work context, church context, various other instances where you're meeting people, it's become the norm that we're not going to... Certain topics are off the table, right? Certain
Let's just agree to disagree. Let's not talk about that,
yeah,
right?
Right. And so then what you end up with is a lot of different people in their own echo chambers. Mm-hmm. They're only hearing their own perspective repeated to them in different ways, you know what I mean? But in terms of actually having real dialogue with people with whom you disagree, that's become just something where it's becoming more and more rare and often for many feeling more and more impossible, because it's like, gee, I'd really like to unpack these topics, but if it's going to lead to tempers flaring, it's going to lead to some negative interaction where we don't really get anywhere, and it's just more emotions and more bluster, but there's not actually any growth in understanding, people throw their hands up and just say, well, I quit, right? And so I think because of this, like with Charlie Kirk, I was kind of similar to you, Deacon Jeff, insofar as like before he died, I was familiar with him. I had seen some videos of him. And after he died, I saw both in the media and social media, people put up quotes of him. And at first when I thought, whew, some of that sounds really bad, you know, because I didn't know. And so I started looking into stuff, and I realized there was a lot of stuff that was being taken out of context. Or even if you but then also, you know, at the end of the day, he's a provocateur, you know, like I think the thing is, like, he's somebody, he is trying to stir the pot, but not like a shock jock from like the 1980s. You know,
He's a provocateur, but he's not pushing for a fight.
No, the purpose of being fight. Of stirring the pot and being a provocateur is
to challenge people and to get them to express think. And to think. And
yes,
because that's what
again.
I know.
Get people talking again. Yeah.
See, that was the thing that surprised me the most, because I did start watching some of his material, and the best place is like go onto YouTube and see some of these whole presentations that are out there of like his entire time at some particular campus event, or listening to his podcast show. And I know politically that's hard for some people to engage in that way, but at the end of the day, I've done the same thing for people who I think politically might be in a different camp than me, where I want to hear like what is it that you say, what is your argument. And that's one of the things I learned to appreciate about Charlie Kirk, was that guy was the most open and welcoming debater. I mean, there are literally thousands of people that came to him thinking that person came up there thinking like, I'm going to drop the mic on him. He's going to finally, at the end of what I say, he's going to have to say, you know what, you're right. Everything I've thought was a sham and a lie. And it's like, I'm amazed that people felt that way. But if you look at the hours and hours and hours of material that's out there, what you're going to find is a guy that basically allowed everyone human dignity, allowed everyone to speak. And again, people will argue with me and say, oh, well, he didn't like LGBTQ plus people. It's like, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that he didn't like them. He spoke what he believed to be the truth about whether this was a lifestyle that God encourages and wants to happen. But he wanted to engage people, and he welcomed people into conversation. He didn't beat them up. Okay. If there's an example out there, I haven't seen it yet. And I'm not asking people to send them to me, because this is not an argument about Charlie Kirk's point of view. This is an argument about the fact that this man basically encouraged open and honest and genuine debate. And he got killed for it. And it's like, that's a problem, because people didn't like his ideas. They killed him or celebrated, you know, his killing. But there was something I noticed about Charlie Kirk. Again, I'm not trying to make him a martyr and put him in heaven. I'm not doing that. But I noticed things about people and communicators. There was a habit he had that he would speak, like when he was engaged with another person, every time he'd answer in brief sentences, not long diatribes, and he would put the mic down. He set the mic down in front of him. And a lot of people don't take that and go like, well, what's the big deal? It was a conscientious display of, all right, you have the mic. you speak, and almost like I dare you, just say what you want to say. I'm not stopping you. And the number of times people said, would you let me talk? And he's like, he would gesture to the microphone. He's like,
that's awesome.
I am not talking.
I'm listening.
And I'm not trying to make him holier than thou. I'm just trying to say what's being said about him, they're lies.
Yeah, because, you know, like the LGBT things, like, for example, I saw one video where there was a hardcore anti-gay, you know, conservative who got on there and was saying some pretty, you know, he was like,
thought he was talking to a commiserating party,
yes,
right? He thought he was talking to somebody who's going to agree with him.
And he was saying, like, the Republican Party needs to basically find all who's gay in the party and kick everybody out.
Yeah.
All this other stuff.
And what did he say?
And Charlie, he disagreed. He said no.
That's nuts.
And he thought that's nuts. He said that that's ridiculous. And he had a fairly balanced point of view that he presented. And he's either in that video or another video where he said, like, you know, yeah, I'm raising issues related to the LGBTQ people, but I have a heart for these people at the same time. And you know, and watching the videos that I saw overall, I thought, you know, that a heart for the people with whom he, you know, was raising disagreements, that came through more so than sort of the clickbait quotes that I was seeing
right
after his death, where people were saying, accusing him of all sorts of stuff.
Right.
And he, to an extent, he and I think he understood he was bringing that upon himself by stepping into that provocateur, you know, space.
Yeah, but he was a really good debater. That's what I determined. I looked at it like, man, this guy knows how to debate.
Yes.
He knows how to debate, and he does it in such a way where it's like those old stump debates where they basically didn't necessarily have a moderator who said, and now, Mr. Dorian, you have 30 seconds to reply. You know, it wasn't like that. It was like a conversation, and he always engaged. Now, I don't know how much he enjoyed, you know, the thrill of those conversations. I got a sense that he really was someone who was seeking the truth.
I got the sense, honestly, King Cruz, that the guy really genuinely loves Jesus, and regardless of what you think.
He did, but he did, at every single talk, spend time sharing the gospel.
Yes.
I mean, quite literally, he's very knowledgeable. Again, here we are painting this great picture of Charlie Kirk, and I don't want to necessarily get into that part of things, but just to say, like, why do people get killed for sharing their heart?
Right, because that was something, like I said, I hadn't really paid much attention to the guy, but that came through, too, as he was someone who seemed that he genuinely, regardless of what you think about his views that he shared and whether or not he was authentically reflecting the gospel, I think that he was someone who was doing his best in accordance with his own understanding and his experience as a Christian to try to witness the faith. And that was the thing in his mind, in his heart, that was the thing that was most important. It was driving his approach to discussing social and political issues was a desire to be there for Jesus. As to what, you know, whether you say on the other end of that, hey, I don't think that the stuff he was saying is reflective of Jesus, I think that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I think that the guy was genuine in trying to do that the best he could.
And yeah, I get that. And at the end of the day, though, this idea of valuing human life so little that you're willing to say, I don't like that idea, or that idea challenges me, or label it as hate speech, and then say, like, well, what do you do with hate speech? Oh, you shoot it.
Right.
You kill it. You destroy it. And I look at that and I think that is exact opposite of how our country was founded.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm watching right now with very great interest. Our country was founded based on the same sort of legal principles of freedom that England, right, heralded and started really in the world, in the Western world. And I'm watching as England is actually clamping down on free speech and sending people literally to prison for tweets that people, they find offensive language or hate speech or whatever. And I'm like, this is not going in a good direction.
Mm-mm.
And I got to admit, how things happen. Okay, so that's all the free speech stuff. But the other side of this is also, why do we feel like it's okay to go to somebody's house and kill them? if we don't agree with them, if we don't like them, politically or otherwise. You know, why is it okay, and why for someone to stab somebody in on a train, right, who was innocent and doing nothing? There was no argument, whatever. Now, I understand there's mental disturbance here. Mm-hmm. I understand there's a mental problem, right? And this particular man on that train had a history. Like, but then there was these other folks that I don't want to judge them, but I want to go, like, I kind of think that, like, I would have at least moved over and, ma'am, can I help you? I don't know. I just feel like we've gotten to the point, like, we all want to turn our backs and walk away from anything that actually seeks, like, truth, beauty, and goodness. We want to avoid anything that's controversial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also there's within the Catholic moral theology tradition, one of the teachings is that the ends don't justify the means, you know, and that's something that goes back to St. Thomas Aquinas. The ends don't justify the means, whereas if you look at, you know, more modern ideologies, like Marxism being an obvious example, the ends definitely, for them, justify the means, and I think that that's an important moral question that we need to revisit as a society. I mean, there's a reason why the Church has said that, you know, to adopt the posture that the ends justify the means is dangerous morally and spiritually, mm-hmm. and that we have to be just both in our means and our ends, and we have to have an understanding of what that is and what that means to be just in both our means and our ends. But instead, I think that we've lost sense of what justice is and what goodness is, and we've lost sense of there being a morality that we can come together and agree as a matter of natural law, for example. And you have a lot of people who, when they get on fire for something, at that point, if they don't have that protection in place of, hey, the ends don't justify the means, then all of a sudden, all bets are off.
Yeah, I 100% agree. You know, I look at our little clock that counts down, you know, on how much time we have left, and it's like we just kind of ranted. It was kind of like unformed. We didn't really have a list of things we were going to go to and points we were going to make and et cetera, et cetera. It wasn't thought through. And I don't know if this talk has infuriated you or if you are on the same side of it. But at the end of the day, I think the only reason why we wanted to do this show this way was we need to find Jesus in our country. We need to find our equilibrium. We need to go back to truth, beauty, and goodness. We need to start seeing the dignity in every human person, and we need to stop labeling, and we need to stop doing the things that we're doing, and we need to stop other-siding things, and we need to stop this division is literally killing us. It is literally killing us. And this is going to lead to this discouragement. This anger is going to be discouragement. It's going to lead to despair, right? And essentially, what was beautiful about that retreat is that Sister Mary Lawrence was helping us to understand that, like, you know, there are, like, discouragement happens. These are her words. Discouragement often happens when I'm believing a lie about myself, you know, a lie about my identity, which is lies about God. What should I do when I feel discouraged? First, identify the lie. You know, identify the what am I believing about myself or about God that is not true? Then rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the lie that I'm a failure. I rebuke the lie that I'm whatever, you know, at the end of the day. And then she says, then proclaim the truth. Right? Speak truth to that lie. You know, and then at the end of that speaking the truth, then it's the fourth part of this is praising God. And you've got to give this all back to God at the end of the day, because that's what foils the enemy. Satan hates it when you praise God. Mm-hmm. Right? So our masses, our prayers, our songs, when people say that, oh, prayers, thoughts and prayers don't mean anything, they mean a great deal, because they are defeating the devil through the power of God in the name of Jesus. These prayers, I mean, Jesus has already done the work. We just got to get on board. We just got to understand that God loves us. So, like, where that discouragement comes from, you know, is we're in a place where, you know, I need to realize that God made me and He put me here, that He loves me and He empowers me. Through Him, He empowers me to be able to fight for Him, fight the good fight. And I think that's what some of these people are doing. Even the silent witness that gets murdered on a train, even the two little kids that were just praying in church, or and the other kids that were shot in that horrific situation, and certainly even Charlie Kirk, you know. And at the end of the day, this is our nation needs to come back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Our nation needs to stop the division, open the dialogue, open the discourse, civil discourse, right? Debate ideas, not lives. And that's where we've gotten lost. And if we don't turn this in another direction, we are not going to have a country. And everyone says, like, well, that might be a little extreme. It's like, I don't know. I think things have gotten extreme in the last 5 years. I think mm-hmm. they have. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, if we don't understand that, and so this show, like, is a wake-up call for me. These events have been a wake-up call, and I think that we'll be back to our regular, you know, fun routine next time we come together. But the thing here is, this is serious. I really think that at the core of everything that we do at the Catholic Cafe, it's really about trying to speak truth in a way that's received by people, having honest, genuine conversations that are going to lead to truth, beauty, and goodness, that are going to lead to people having dignity for human beings, to respect dignity and to respect each other and to see other people in a sacred and reverent way, in the way in which they were created. And if we don't have that basic understanding, then we don't have Jesus. And that's why we have to have Jesus. You know, one of the things Charlie Kirk said right before he died literally was talking about invoking the Blessed Virgin Mary more. He was a Protestant and even recognized that we need Mary in this world. We need a mama to help us guide us through these troubled times. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.